This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
The Syrian refugee crisis has been a staple of news cycles around the world for months. This month, Canada welcomed the first of 25,000 Syrian refugees. Today, we're speaking with one of the first Syrian refugees to arrive in Vancouver. Mohamed Asaleh came to Canada in November of last year. He knew no one and barely spoke any English. And now he's here to share his story with us. Hello, Mohamed.
Hi, Jim.
What was your life like in Syria before the war started?
Things have escalated so fast. So 2011, we have an uprising. 12, we have an armed conflict. 2013, we have terror came to the country and things got so crazy. So I was stuck in the middle of that. But on a personal level, I was detained. I was tortured relentlessly. After getting out of prison, I decided to leave that country and never come back unless everything changed. I went to my family, said goodbye, and left the country to Lebanon. And from Lebanon, I came here to Canada as one of the very first people to come here. In 2014, Canada had welcomed Syrians for the very first time, 200 people as government-assisted refugee, and only 28 in BC, and I was one of them.
So what were you doing in Syria? Were you actively part of the uprising? Is that why they detained you and sent you to prison and tortured you?
Yeah, I was a prisoner of opinion. My only crime was speaking about the corruption or the corrupted government and the dictatorship that we have, demanding freedoms and elections and basic human rights. And that was enough reason for them to arrest me and torture me and nearly kill me.
Now, when you left Syria, you said you headed to Lebanon. What was the experience like leaving Syria and going to Lebanon?
It's one of the hardest things that you can imagine because you go to the unknown. You leave everything behind. You leave your personal life, studies, your family, your brothers and sisters, mother. So, but again, because of everything that I have experienced, I have decided to, I prefer to go to the unknown better rather than staying in that country.
How did you end up in Canada? How did that process work?
Mm-hmm. Well, the way that Canada accepts refugees is based on referrals from the UNHCR. So what happens is people who are in need, who flee their countries, go to the UN High Commissioner for Refugees and they ask for help. So they get registered with them and the UN would assess all the files and all the cases that they have and they will decide which ones are the most vulnerable depending on a criteria that I'm not fully aware of, but it's like being a member of LGBTs, being victims of torture, and so on. And then they refer those files to the host country, which are 12 different countries, and Canada is one of them. And this is how I ended up here, with the help of UNHCR, and Canada chose me and accepted me and welcomed me here.
Did you choose Canada, or because you mentioned there were 12 countries mm-hmm. that were accepting refugees? Does the UNHCR decide where you want to go,
or do you say,
I'd like to go to Canada, or I'd like to go to Germany? Or
it doesn't work like that. No. It's a blind process where, for example, I didn't know I'm coming to Canada only 3 months before I actually arrived here. So the referrals go from the UN to those countries, and those countries choose whatever they depend on their standards and criteria.
Now, you mentioned going to Lebanon was just like a step into the unknown, but I must imagine that coming from Lebanon to Canada, where you don't even know the language, must be even more scary. What was it like coming to Canada?
Well, I consider coming to Canada is like being born again. And I describe it not going, not as going to the unknown. No, not at all. I describe it as having been given a new chance and a new start over. It was the best thing that had happened to me, actually. After everything that I've been through, this country gave me a start over, welcomed me as a future Canadian, as a new Canadian. So I must admit that the first few months were hard and frustrating because of moving here alone with no family, because the fact that my credentials from the med school in Syria were not recognized here, and a lot of other problems. But now, after 1 year, I have achieved a lot of good things. I have learned English. I have finished college, and I'm graduating in 1 week. I met the Prime Minister of Canada. I had a whole page on Metro Vancouver newspaper. So I just had my first job interview yesterday. So this country is the land of dreams coming true.
I can't help being amazed at your English, actually, because you said you hardly spoke any English when you came to Canada. How did you manage to learn to speak so well in so short a time?
When I was in Syria, in school and in college, they have taught us the grammar, but I never got the chance to speak the language. So I practiced English through watching movies, actually. But I never had the chance to speak with anyone. So I applied my knowledge from school and movies. When I first arrived here, it was hard at the beginning, but I'm getting better day by day.
You also mentioned that you were in medical school back in Syria, but credentials are not recognized here in Canada. Is there any opportunity you'll have to be able to go back to medical school here in Canada, or is that something that's not possible?
Well, I have contacted the Faculty of Medicine here, and they said my credentials could not be transferred here, so I can't complete studying medicine. I have to start from beginning, and that would mean 8 or 10 years of studying, and that is something that I can do because I have to work, I have to afford a living, I have to help a family that I left in my country, and so on. So I don't think it will be possible, but on the other hand, this country is the land of unlimited opportunities, and it had shown me a lot of pathways that I was not aware of before.
When you left Syria, you said you had to leave your family behind. Where are they now?
Well, actually, my family had stayed in Syria, but had to flee to Turkey just in November. And that was because our city was being attacked by ISIS all the time, and they couldn't stay there anymore.
Are you trying to get them to come to Canada now?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have my main concern during my last week is finding a way to bring my family here. But after doing all the research, I have resorted to start a crowdfunding campaign in order to privately sponsor them. With the huge support from my friends and my community. We have started doing that 9 days ago, and the results are amazing. We were able to raise 8,000 so far. I was losing hope, and right now I am very optimistic, and I believe we can do it, and I can see my family in 2016.
What is the goal of your fundraising campaign?
Mm-hmm. Well, the citizenship and immigration requires a certain amount of financial support for the family for the first year, depending on the number of individuals that you are trying to sponsor. So in my case, for four people, I have to provide the financial support of 30,000.
Who are your family members that you want to bring to Canada?
My mom, two sisters, and brother.
I'm curious to know why you're going the route of trying to raise money to privately sponsor them rather than having the government sponsor them.
Mm-hmm.
What is the
difference? Very, very good question. Actually, I have asked this question to the Prime Minister just the other day. There is a problem that have not been dealt with. Just like we explained how accepting refugees works, it is based on referrals from UNHCR. But in fact, the United Nations High Commissioners for Refugees had stopped registering new people, have stopped registering Syrians in Lebanon and Turkey quite a while ago. And this means that millions of people who have fled to those countries in this time do not even have the chance to be considered as to come here. That includes my family, who had just fled in November. So they can't seek help from UNHCR. And that means that they cannot come to Canada as government-assisted refugees. And this leaves Syrian Canadians like myself, who tried to be reunited with their families, with only option, which is private sponsorships.
Now, what would you say to Canadians who want to help newly arrived Syrian refugees?
Well,
what can we do?
Oh my God, my beloved Canadians, I would like to thank you so much for your generosity with Syrians. I would like to thank you on behalf of the Syrian people. First of all, you are saving lives by doing that, and you are also doing a huge future investment. And with welcoming new Canadians, we will build a better future for this country. So you can do a lot of things, beginning with a very basic thing, just like donating a smile and asking and inviting a Syrian for coffee, to giving them a ride, to teaching them some English words, and so on. You are helping people that are so desperate for a new start over, and they do not lack the motive, they do not lack the ambition. They just have some barriers, like language. Once they overcome them, they will contribute back to the society.
Well, it's been a real delight to meet you and speak with you today, Mohammed. Thank you for coming down to the station.
Thank you so much, Jim.
I've been speaking with Mohammed Asale. He came to Canada as a refugee in 2014. He's now trying to bring his mother, brother, and sisters to Canada as privately sponsored refugees. If you're interested, you can check out his GoFundMe campaign. It's called Syrian Family Rescue, and that's at GoFundMe.com/Syrian Family Rescue.